All right, Gary, what are we doing this week?
Well, Cole, I have here these scratch and sniff game pieces.
Ooh, like a wait a minute. It's like a Monopoly piece, but with smells. Okay.
And I thought that you could do some scratching and sniffing, and then maybe, they would suggest a game.
Gary, I don't know how to tell this to you. I don't have a sense of smell.
You're the scentless man?
Not if you believe the people who had to take gym class with me.
Oh,
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba.
you're the you done an olfactory fire? Like, are you like
No, I
a anosmia is
yeah,
actually the name of that.
yes, no,
You're the anosmiac man?
yes, I yeah. Well, what happened was a bottle rocket went off up my nose, and now
Okay.
everything tastes like styrofoam and smells like styrofoam. So I don't know that I can. I mean, I can try. There might be a miracle, but.
Okay, well let's just see let's go ahead and scratch this one and see if you if your anosmia wears off real quick or not. It's okay if it
Okay.
doesn't.
All right.
Offer you I have a nose as well.
Okay. Let me see here. Scratch, 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 scratch. Yeah, nothing. Sorry. No.
Here, let me hand it to me and I'll smell it.
Okay. Here you go.
Cole, I'm just holding my hand out here just to hand it to me.
No, I'm gonna
Cole, I can't feel it.
get Gary.
I'm the touchless
Oh,
man.
no.
No.
What if this was the
No.
result of some O. Henry-esque bargain?
Like getting a scratch and sniff sticker for somebody with anosmia.
And
Get in that person.
getting a rub and rub sticker.
Yep. Oh, Henry. You done fucked up. Why'd you make the quiet man?
Oh God. Yeah, no, this is bad.
This is dire. But it's here's the thing with that scentless.
Okay.
Why is he quiet? He's not fucking quiet.
He makes all the punches.
Like, not an angry video game nerd this, not to like, it makes no sense. Zelda 3 came before Zelda 2. It makes no sense. And not to do that, but like,
Yeah.
boy.
No, he makes lots of punches. He's not necessarily a stealthy, but he's not the quiet man. The quiet man is like the superhero alter ego that he invented for himself, that his dad disguises himself as for this
I only got
incomprehensible plot.
27 minutes into this. I don't know
Yeah.
why you need more than that. So I don't know why you know that.
No,
Like, I'm mad at you for doing
I
more.
read the
Okay.
synopsis on Wikipedia.
I'm mad at you for doing that. My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
You're listening to episode 300
Woo!
of Abject Suffering, where we are still in search of the quiet Griddler.
That's why we can't find him.
The silent Griddler.
Yeah, you'd expect a
Stealth
grid
Griddler.
you'd expect a Griddler to sizzle.
I would eat a McStealthy right now. just like the secret burgers that are sneak up on you. They like sneak onto your plate. Like you have a big plate of like healthy salad and the burger just kind of crawls on up.
Yeah, no,
Like the
you're just
person.
walking down a
Hello?
dark, walking down a darkened hallway. Boom, burger in your mouth. You don't know where it came
Yeah.
from.
Yeah.
So
McSleep.
many, so many,
Da da dun dun
so many people died. So many people choked to death on the
Yeah, the McStealthy was a bad idea. Making an invisible scentless burger
McStealthy.
was not the best use of McDonald's fortunes,
Yeah, no. It comes with a free Crystal Pepsi.
Yeah, I just like I where I sat down for my meal. Where is it? I got the Crystal Pepsi, the McStealthy, the Invisi Fries. What is going on here?
Demand service.
I demand service. Why don't you try eating the nothing in front of you? What the? This is delicious. Ronald, you've done it again. Why, hello. Did somebody say my name?
Have to say his name three times.
Okay, yeah, that is true.
Oh.
McStealthy. Anywho, this is some horse shit.
It's some recent horse shit, Gary. Uh-huh. I don't. So it's The Quiet Man. This is a game developed by Human Head Studios and published by Square Enix. Kind of had an infamous launch trailer. And I don't know that there has been a game that got so many suggestions in our little dingus so quickly as The Quiet Man.
Yeah, this was a socially accepted hate object, like a universal goof upon this, which ended up for me being a thing where when I was doing research on it, I mostly just played it and figured we'd talk about the McStealthy, which I invented earlier,
right,
as opposed to because I don't want to just like the kind of AVGN stuff on this has been pretty well covered.
Yeah.
And we can talk about why it's bad. I don't want to gloss over that. But, you know, this is something that professional games comedy people have been ragging on for a year now.
It's been a meal. Yeah.
Not a year. I mean, you know, 4 months or whatever, 6 months. because I am surprised. Like, this is as bad as it is as its reputation.
Yeah, I usually go into things that are infamous really skeptical, right?
Not especially infamous too.
not necessarily because I'm looking for them to be good, but just, you know, the things are rarely as, you know, horseshit buffalo diarrhea as people tend to say, right? Hyperbole is the lingua franca, right?
Yeah
But four people put it in, so we have Aaron, we have Sam, we have Mike, and then we have John Wayne.
Oh, howdy.
Howdy, Pilgrim. I can't believe you've done this.
Yep.
Yeah,
geez, partner. There's tons of people put this in there because it came out. It was meant to. So Human Head Studios, not like slouch, right? Like, these guys did Arkham Origins.
They did a port of Arkham Origins. Oh, gotcha. They brought it to the Wii U.
Gotcha. They do. Yeah. Okay with that. Did they actually do? Here, let me see. They actually did Prey, the 2006 Prey.
Yeah. People seem to like them.
That's a fine game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got a great opening. Like.
Their first game was the infamously bad Blair Witch game, Blair Witch Volume 2, The Legend of Black Rock.
Of Coffin Rock.
Of Coffin Rock, rather. Yeah.
Yeah. Coffin Rock.
They've done a bunch of stuff. They worked on Brink. That was a game people thought would be okay. They did the multiplayer on BioShock Infinite. But not out of nowhere. This doesn't fit in with anything else that they've done, though. So I don't know why it happens.
This is an auteur. This guy did this thing and thought he would be the next Kojima. Like, there are interviews with the main dude of this, who talked about how this was going to be like, you know, he had something he wanted to say. This was a statement. This is very important to him. He wanted to make this game. He hired a comic book writer to like write it and like just have this idea for like,
give me the most boilerplate crime drama you can.
Yeah. And then got Joe Kelly, which is really weird in terms of comics. Old Deadpool guy.
Mm.
But he wanted to say something. Like, the idea is this game is to make you cry. Like, it is. He thought he was going to come out of this and be like, I am Kojima now. Everyone thinks I'm Kojima.
Yeah.
Look at this guy and go, this is Kojima to me.
Yeah. And, this is Kojima to me. What's his name from The Room? This is Tommy Wiseau to me.
Yeah. This is David Cage. Yeah. And, you know, but I don't know. I wouldn't put this past Kojima. The cutscene ratio is pretty Kojima-esque.
Yeah.
In this.
So this is an FMV game, mixed in with weirdly realistic. This is the most uncanny valley I think I've seen models be in a while. Because they're cutting back and forth between footage and the models.
Yeah, constantly does it, and it looks awful every single time it happens. Something's gone wrong. Like, you're in the alley, you look at the models, and then it cuts over, and now you're this weird machinima. You know. Like, creature, like, no. Who's clearly based on it. And they look like, he looks like a young Dean Erickson to me. You know, so I kept thinking of Gabriel Knight 2 whenever I saw him. But you cut over to them and it just, like, it makes my skin crawl. Like, it just looks so gross. And then the animations are really bad and choppy. And I don't care about production value generally in games. Like, that's not my, you know, my focus. So I don't care about that other than the fact that these were just a second ago humans moving around.
Yep.
You know, so it just makes it look so bad.
Yeah. The animation gets in the way of the fighting as well. You know, when you are not watching this movie, and we'll talk about the content of this movie, I'm sure. But when you're not watching this game, you're playing it, and it is an incredibly stilted brawler.
Yeah. Well, it's the animation gets in the way, but also it's so simple as to be not worth thinking about.
Yeah.
Like there are, as far as I can tell, there's like two attacks, a grab and a dodge that is not attack dependent. Right. Like you do the same dodge no matter what angle an attack's coming in or what attack it is.
Right.
And that's it. Like mm-hmm. maybe there are more mechanics to this, but it feels like it is like a PS1 level brawler. Like,
yeah.
like this should be the Die Hard trilogy game or the Fifth Element game or something as far as how it controls.
Yeah.
No, it's really bad.
I got to the point where like dudes with machetes started coming at me, and all that really did was give another health bar.
Yeah. Like
you just have to do enough hits to knock the machete out of their hand, and then they become fist men.
They become fist men. What a delayed bomb the bouncer was. You know, like the bouncer came out. The bouncer was awful, and it has a bunch of weird defenders now. And I'm here to tell you that you're wrong. Like, it's cool for you to like a game or whatever, but the bouncer was terrible.
Yeah,
we all wanted to justify our purchases.
The bouncer was graded on such a generous curve just because it came out so early and people had a lot of goodwill towards Square Enix. Am I thinking of the right thing? Was the bouncer Square Enix?
Yes.
Okay. I get the bouncer mixed up with the summoner, which was another like first year of the PS2 game, and it seems like Square Enix would have at some point made a game called the summoner.
The summoner. Who did the summoner? I'm gonna look that up because I'm just kind of curious. The summoner was actually not so bad.
Volition. Okay. No, I never played it, but I always got it mixed up with the bouncer. But yeah, the bouncer comparison is pretty good because that is, you know, cinematic mixed in with a bad brawler.
Yeah. Yeah. And the bouncer is more complicated. There are more moves and stuff, but it is so fucking boring to play. Like it is as boring as this is, mm-hmm. as far as it actually plays. So it's like, that's what it feels like to me, but it has that Square. Like early on, I thought this was developed by Square. But you know, just when I heard about it,
like it debuted
from Square.
Yeah. So Square Enix logo is really prominent. And it debuted at the Square, at the Square press conference last year. At
E3. Yeah. So I thought this was Square doing some like little mini games or, you know, smaller indie titles or whatever. And it has the Square rhythm of like, get done with a fight or get done with a cutscene, walk down a hallway, two steps, and then start another cutscene.
Yep.
Horseshit that like, that company does a lot. So I was really ready to believe this was just like, you know, some guy from Square like passion project before I found out it was some other dude's passion project from another company. But that's, you know, so that's the problem, like the cutscene ratio. And then the thing, the bearing the lead, if somebody somehow doesn't know what this is, our main character is deaf.
Yes.
And this breaks its own rules so much. Like this is, it's like really dumb. So you start off, it's like, it's not going to be subtitled. Only things that are meant to be comprehended will be subtitled. I'm like, cool.
Okay.
My guy can't hear, you know, and people are going to use that against him. Like people are going to, you know, talk behind his back or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
No, my dude clearly reads lips.
Yes.
Like he has conversations in it. Weird. It's like, the avatar is deaf, but also the player is supposed to be super deaf.
Yeah. And in the fiction, somebody who grew up hearing impaired for their entire life would be adapted and would be able to comprehend the world. Right.
Yeah.
I am not adapted to being hearing impaired. So it's kind of like in the fiction, it's almost like this character, it would have made more sense if he was deafened like in an accident at the start of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause as is, I mean, not only does he read lips clearly, but people start using sign language with him.
Yeah.
And I was like, why isn't this subtitled?
Yeah.
Like you're not making a story where the idea is you're only getting part of the story. And then later when you do the answer mode or whatever, the new game plus, which like
they only developed and released under protest,
And you had to beat the main game first, which like, again, stop doing that. Like, just please stop making me play the game twice to get your entire story. Like, it's not adding anything, I assure you. But so it's not like a thing where it's like you get most of the story and then you get these other things that recontextualize it, like a Nier trick. Mm-hmm. It's you get none of the story, then you get the story. You know, like you can kind of follow along and infer some things, mm-hmm. but they happen in real time. Like you spend this whole time where it's like, okay, what I can take away from this conversation as somebody who cannot hear it, mm-hmm. is that this guy is angry at this dude.
Right.
And there's a girl in play. Cool. I know, but if that was a conversation with dialogue and stuff, that conversation would last like 3 or 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take 3 or 4 minutes to make that inference.
Right.
But I'm still just watching them, two people talk to each other and I can't hear them.
Right.
And I've already gleaned what I can glean out of the fucking conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's so boring.
Yep. No,
what is wrong with you?
I generally don't break away from a game to go look at something else. No, I was just like, I was researching this game while I was playing it and watching the window out of my corner of my eye, because yeah, like it is in real time. There is one scene where he goes and meets his friend who's like the mob boss or whatever. And yeah. it is Tay. He goes and meets Tay. And it is just like 4 minutes of nothing.
Of him not only lip reading conversation, but he does both. He does lip reading and sign language.
Yeah.
Which, like, if you're talking to your deaf buddy and you know sign language,
mm-hmm.
like, it's kind of a dick move just throw in some lip reading and not use it every once in a while. But that's what he does.
You're right.
You know, but it's just, you immediately understand, like, okay, he works for him. They've exchanged a briefcase full of drug powder, like pure uncut American powder,
pure uncut American confectioner sugar. Yep. We're going to bake a cake that's going to ruin this city.
Yeah, they're going to make super cake. But it just goes on and on.
Yeah.
This has a serious fucking problem with like, we're art.
Uh-huh.
Like the idea of him picking these things up and having constant flashbacks to, like, every flashback is shot like somebody looking at a picture of their dead wife and remembering her.
Yeah, it's like a flashback from an Aerosmith music video.
Yes. Yeah. Every single one. And they happen incessantly.
Yep.
Like they're all flashbacks that do not reveal plot or character, that happen just to really emphasize that he likes this girl. Like, even if it's not even about him being deaf, he comes off like he's simple though.
Yeah.
Like there's something wrong, you know, something like underdeveloped in him.
No, to the
that's
point.
Not the intent. That's not what I think of deaf people, but that's how they just make him so one note and like, buh.
Yeah. Just staring placidly at anybody who is gesticulating toward him. I would be shocked if there was anybody who was hearing impaired who consulted on this or told them, hey, maybe don't do that.
Yep.
Like, and it's super frustrating, right? Because what they're trying to do is, okay, we're going to tell this story in an innovative way, without sound. All right. Or just with these muted sounds, like whatever this character would feel when he's, you know, hit or something like that. We're going to tell the story without sound, but no, we're just kind of going to shoot it and pretend like we're making a film with dialogue. So we're not actually going to modulate to tell the story in a different way. And even though it would make sense, since this is your point of view character, for him to understand the lip reading and to have subtitles, or to understand the sign language and to see it, really what it is an effort to hide behind this smoke screen of a message game almost. Like, aren't we brave for featuring a character who's hearing impaired?
Yeah. Yeah. They definitely want some credit.
Yeah.
Which is pretty fucked up. They also do some weird things with, like, so if we're locking, it feels like it's a betrayal, because if it locks you in the perspective of the quiet man, like, mm-hmm. one, we should be able to understand when he understands. Two, though, some of the flashbacks have shots that he wouldn't see.
Uh-huh.
Like, I know they're flashbacks to him as a kid, but they establish when it's showing Tay getting roughed up for his sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
I assume it's Tay, because they show Tay right before they do the flashback.
Yeah, yeah.
That scene, we get quite a few beats of that scene before the quiet man even shows up.
Right.
And it's like, why aren't we locked into his perspective and flashback?
Right.
Like this is really, really basic cinematic language stuff. Like, this is, you know, God, video game people, stop thinking you can make a movie.
Yeah.
You know, like, just not, it's not a scale where, like, it's, you know, oh, okay, once I'm a black belt, I'm automatically a brown belt. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not how it works. Like, there are different languages and you have to know how to use them. And mm-hmm. this guy and fucking David Cage, like, stop it.
Yep.
Stop it. You don't know how to do it.
Get out.
Not good at it.
Yeah.
Get out.
Leave.
Leave.
No.
That's try it. Again. This ain't, yeah, this and not it.
Yeah. And so trying to make a film, but I mean, when I said make it as boilerplate as possible, they are just leaning on, I understand there's like supernatural stuff later and you've got this, you know, plague doctor looking guy who's stalking and, you know, stuff like that. It's still like a wildly outdated depiction of like urban gang kind of stuff. This is Death Wish, Gary.
Oh, I was going Death Wish is pretty good. It is a Mexican gangster beat up simulator.
Yeah.
Like all you do is beat up Latin American gangsters.
Right.
Like over and over different time, mm-hmm. different types.
Yeah. it's incredibly outdated in terms of what it's even trying to do. Yeah, they're like just the sound thing is obfuscating a bunch of just really, really boring ass safe choices that are so conventional as to be insulting.
And I cannot imagine a million years this idea that it is a real tightrope walk to make something interesting enough to get somebody to want to know the answer to like replay it or whatever.
Yes.
Like you have to ride that throttle very perfectly, like give enough information where like, hey, I'm in on this. Like mm-hmm. this is interesting. I'm pretty compelled. Like I got to know what happens. Enough to, you know, and again, they didn't release that second version until later, but enough to like piece it out, right? Yeah. Like, you know, this, but her story, you are not
mm-hmm.
the quiet man, you know, like that's kind of the idea of what they want as far as your level of engagement
yeah.
in this, of like piecing together things. But it's just 1,000 times worse.
Yeah.
And then I just can't imagine demanding they made that answer version by demand. Who demanded it?
Yeah.
Who was just like, yeah, like just is that just like the most direct representation of a sunk cost fallacy?
Maybe
that has ever been in games. Like, I put my 3 hours in this, and I have to put another 3 hours in to know. my time is literally valueless. Square and Human Head just like literally fucking drag me, Kings. Like I am valueless. My time is worthless. I'm gonna die. I know it.
Yeah.
I know I'm gonna die. I don't care. And I want to spend 3 more hours of my precious life, of which I get one.
Yeah.
Instead of spending it with loved ones or cultivating a new hobby, mm-hmm. I want to spend it playing the fucking Quiet Man again.
Again. Not,
yeah.
which is not even an act of curiosity.
It's not even an act. Yeah, it's this weird, you know, what is wrong with people? Like,
the idea that it was released by demand, I think that it might have literally just been a defensive move. And they did another one, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But like a defensive move where like one of the complaints was, oh, it's really, really hard to understand this because they shot a movie without film, but didn't do anything with the story to make it comprehensible. Said, mm-hmm. oh, well, all we need to do is just release the dialogue that we already shot. So here you go. It's kind of like going to a restaurant and saying, these mashed potatoes are undersalted and also there's a big turd in the middle of them.
Yeah.
And then you send it back and it comes back out with more salt, but the turd's still there.
Yeah. Like, and the turd, there's more turd,
yeah.
You know, or you have to get like before. Okay. We'll eat 2 big bites and then we'll put some salt on it.
Yeah. Like, so the salt is, the salt is, I can't understand this without the dialogue. The turd is, this is not worth anything in the first place.
No, this is not worth saving. It's not even food, you know? I found this very frustrating and annoying.
Mm-hmm. The other defensive move is that Square and this developer have kind of leaned into the game's reputation. Like, there is a trailer that has a bunch
it's jank.
It's jank, and it has all of the you know, like review blurbs, you know, basically reiterating stuff that we've said. Kind of leaning into it, which again is like Tommy Wiseau saying, oh yeah, The Room was meant to be a comedy. No, nope. you can't roll with those punches, buddy.
It's always a little gross when that happens anyway.
Yeah.
You know, like whenever a developer, like it happens with Bubsy, you know, we talked about that with Shaq Fu.
Mm-hmm.
Like whenever a developer is like, hey, get it, we're bad.
Uh-huh.
Like I'm a little grossed out by that. You know, just, I don't know.
Gets up, spreads her arms, says the aristocrats, and then everybody's supposed to feel okay about this.
like, I see through this.
Yeah.
You know, like, whatever you're trying to do. That happened with that movie Gotti. Remember that Gotti movie?
Oh, shit. With an extremely puffy John Travolta?
Yeah, the puffiest. Like, it was John Travolta, like, having drowned was cast as this. But they started, like, at first they were like, you know, it came out, all the critics hated it. And then the commercials start coming out being like, the critics hated it.
Yeah.
Go see what they don't want you to see.
I mean, it's literally just Trump appeal. Like, these elitists told you this is no good, which means it's especially good.
You know, and this game, which one of the things that makes me very mad about this game is that in every term except for artistically, this had to have been a success. Like, this had to have made money. This was like all of the horseshit streamers, like, who just like make fun of, you know, all the game. We're the I'm the N-word gamer, and this here is the game, the cranky gamer, and we're gonna sit here and make fun of this thing as a let's play. Every single one of them did this game.
Yeah,
and we're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And this, like, the name recognition of this game is like fucking through the roof. Like, this ended up being a success. It's like a microcosm of David Cage.
Mm-hmm.
It's like little baby Davy Cage.
Ooh.
And little baby Davy Cage gets money, and that's what he cares about. So this fucker who made this is gonna not, like, you know, it's gonna be like, well, next time he wants to make something, they'll be like, well, maybe we'll give it a shot, because, you know, we can be like from the people who brought you the Quiet Man, and everyone will be like, oh, this will be a disaster. I can't wait to see it. Stop playing train wreck games.
Yeah.
Like, stop doing it.
Don't give the Zombotatoes kids money.
Yeah, stop giving Zombotatoes money. And this is not that much better than Zombotatoes. Like, I hate Zombotatoes. This is better. It's not that much better.
Yeah.
Like, the earnestness of this somehow almost makes it worse.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. Like, I am really wish this didn't make a dime. Yeah. Like, and there's some weird, like, half-hearted defenses of it I found that are just absolutely, like, hard to read. So, like, the IGN review of it gives it a 5 out of 10.
I mean, so on their scale, that's like a 0.5. So,
oh yeah, because of their thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, just in general, like, they, you know, the general idea that most of these sites only use the top half of their scale anyway. Yeah. So a 5 is still really damning.
Yeah, I don't. The text is not. No. The text is, there's lots of things about the language of the cinema of this that are good. And that the beat 'em up starts off good. It eventually gets boring, but it starts off good and thrilling and stuff. And I'm like, this guy's out of his fucking mind.
Yeah, I know.
You know, none of that's true. Like, I don't, this is like a 1. This is like a 1 or a 2. This is a terrible fucking game. Like, this is not, you know, not playable.
Yeah.
Unplayable game.
People like sick birds. You know,
yeah,
they see a sick bird or a sick dog, and like, oh, I gotta take care of that.
Yeah,
you know, except it's games,
and because it's games, you end up with, like, you know, the discourse around this will forever be like diarrhea, angry video, it doesn't make sense, you know, and people saying they like it. Like, you go to GameFAQs and you got Hentai Man over here. And I've always trusted Hentai Man. You know that Hentai Man is the mark of quality when it comes to GameFAQs. Like, I look at a man named Hentai Man. Oh, I'm like, oh, yeah.
I thought you were making up, but then I remembered there actually is somebody called Hentai Man.
He's the first post.
Yeah.
You know, he posted a couple days ago.
Yeah.
That this game is a masterpiece. Like, it's going to be full of people ironically liking it, doing weird clickbaity, like, maybe the Star Wars prequels weren't so bad, like, in a few years we're gonna have a, you know, in defense of the Quiet Man horseshit on Kotaku. It's really obnoxious, like, this kind of thing. Why can't we just let things be bad in games? And I hate it.
Yep,
it's just bad. It's not worth your attention.
Yep, it can be
bad. Leave it alone. It's horseshit.
let it be bad. We can all move on.
Don't go see Gotti. It doesn't matter that Square published it and it had this big market and had all these trailers. Like, it's not an interesting failure.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a failure. Like, it's just really, really bad.
Yeah.
And it's like taking into account the, like, offense, you know, the fact that this does, like, the thesis of this is, like, deaf people don't understand anything and they're kind of idiots.
Right.
You know, it's like, they're not idiots. I've met deaf people.
Yeah.
You know, they got brains. They're smart, just like everyone else. They can't hear. That's what the word means.
Yeah.
It doesn't make them idiots.
Right.
And this whole, like, plunging, you know, Dean Erickson Jr. into a world of incomprehensibility is not brave.
Yeah. Yeah. Taking somebody who has, who has hearing and putting them into a situation where they don't and saying, this says something. Like,
yeah.
What is it? What's it say? But I need help. Just tell me what you're trying to say.
Yeah, it does. It says nothing. Hmm. It was released at a budget price too. A lot of people bought it because it was cheap.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, that's also not a good reason to just like, I was just curious.
Mm-hmm.
Stop buying Detroit. Stop buying David Cage games. Stop giving this guy money. Stop.
Oh, man. Yeah. So like this tour, like I looked this up. Shu Hamada is the guy who directed this, but like I can't find anything else that he's done.
Like, I don't know what else he's done. I just remember reading like interviews.
Yeah.
About this dude.
Yeah.
And stuff. So that's the director. It's like him or who was the guy who is, because there's also the producer here. Mm. I can't remember the name of the guy who I remember reading about. Intent.
Kensei Fujinaga.
The Sound of Silence. That might have been what I've done. The Sound of Silence. This is geek.com. The Sound of Silence interview with Kensei and Joe Kelly about The Quiet Man. This might have been the thing that I read about kind of the intent.
Yeah. Kensei Fujinaga, he was a producer on this, on No More Heroes, Heroes Paradise, Half Minute Hero, Super Mega Neo Climax.
Hero.
And then it's all Hero. And then also on, he was an assistant director on Half Minute Hero. So... Okay. He's worked on stuff. I recognize those names, but I do not understand how somebody could give him a whole project and let him make this kind of swing. I don't understand
why. It's so weird reading this interview when it came out and nobody. There's like nothing skeptical about it. They're just like, yeah, this is like a real good, you know, this is gonna be a good ass game.
Yeah.
We're gonna get people to think and to really feel, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And just like, boy, this in retrospect, kind of mess. If you had to lose a sense, which one would you do? If you had to become the as Nozmiak man or the tasteless man.
I mean, it would probably be taste, honestly.
Yeah. I think that'd be, you could lose a lot of weight really easily. Yeah. Like anyone could, like you just eat, like all I do is eat fucking cabbage and vitamins.
Right. Right. You know? So just lose the sense of taste, sense of smell. Actually like that. I almost went with that, but that is a really, that's really useful for self-preservation.
Yeah.
You know,
well, and I want to know if my apartment smells bad.
Yeah. It's a courtesy thing. Before someone comes over. Right?
It's a courtesy thing. Whereas like if my apartment tastes bad, who cares?
Right.
Like Emma doesn't come over and lick the carpets.
Right.
You know, they can taste as rotten as I want them to, you know.
I'm pretty sure my drywall doesn't taste good.
And me and Pocket just spend a lot of time farting on this carpet.
Yeah.
You know, and it's because we can rest assured that no one is going to taste it.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
but if I lost my sense of smell,
yeah, but like any of the others would be, you know, disastrous, which isn't to say that people who are sight impaired or hearing impaired don't live full lives, but for me, I am used to being able to see. Yeah, you know, I'm not acclimated to it. My profession relies on me being able to hear, you know.
Yeah.
And if you lose your sense of taste or your sense of touch, you have no idea if you are burning alive.
You have to kind of check and check your limbs all the time.
Right, right. Stuff.
That's actually like pretty, I mean, it'd be hard because it'd be difficult to do things like when you don't have that feedback.
No.
But yeah.
Yeah. But like would losing your sense of touch also compromise your like proprioception, like your sense of your orientation in space?
I don't know. Huh. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I think if I had to choose between one of the big ones, you know, like sight or hearing, I've gone back and forth on that quite a bit, and I might do sight because I don't think I can give up like music,
right?
Like, you know, and it's like, yes, that would make doing the job really difficult. Like we would eventually just become, you know, assuming that people still wanted to support the network, like doing games would be difficult.
No,
you know, like it would have to be like goof around podcast of which there'd be like months and months of existential misery,
right?
As you know, as one or both of us or whoever took that plunge, you know, decided or you know dealt with it.
Yeah, you know what I miss? D minor. That's a good chord.
Yeah, yeah. Or yeah, or vice versa. I guess that's if one of the things happened to one of us and the other one happened to the other.
Right. No, we get a see no evil, you're no evil kind of situation going on.
Like in my thing, it's a you know I would give up that sight. I think even though it's like giving up you know video games, it's giving up a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's just tricky. It's just like what like asking like, hey, do you want to give up like visual media or music? Is right. Like, man, music.
Mm.
Boy, what is that like? What would that be like? You know, I understand that there you know, sometimes you can kind of feel music,
yeah,
as well, and there are degrees and everything. I don't mean to be insensitive about it. This is just a thought experiment.
None of these are monoliths, right?
Yeah,
you know, yeah. Like the nice part and the thing that genuinely makes me feel good when I think about this kind of stuff is like technology and services are just leaps and bound even above where they were 10 years ago. In terms of accessibility and in terms of just accommodations that are made for people who are seeing or hearing impaired, you know, like it's not perfect because, you know, it's still a, you know, an inclement situation, but like, I don't know, like now is a really, really good time. If you got to choose any time to get macular degeneration, guess what? Yep. Guess what?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm the macular degeneration. Yeah. And I could take it or leave it each time.
Yeah.
I think that, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
The, hearing seems easier to surmount.
Losing your hearing?
Than like literal, yeah, blindness. Like we haven't gotten to full like cyber eyes yet.
Right.
Yeah. You know, but hearing, there's a lot of stuff they can do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just, it's interesting.
No.
It's interesting, like the idea, if they wanted to make a sympathetic game about what this would be like, it would have to be like a Life is Strange-esque, you know, it shouldn't be about a super soldier.
No.
Or like a mega fighter.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing I can tell you, you know, is that making it about the bouncer was a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, but just doing a game that's about that, like an indie kind of game about what it's like to be, you know, without one of these senses is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
well, no, there's a game we talked about it. We talked with the developer on the level. I think it's called Beyond Eyes or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That is about a little girl who is who's vision impaired. And starts out in this kind of blank world, but just by hearing and by smelling and by touching, this kind of like as you navigate this 3D space, the actual world fills in around you. Based on what you would perceive with your other senses, it's not necessarily the most fun game, but it is incredibly engaging, and I think a good presentation of the way other senses kind of step in,
right? Yeah,
and help you form a broader picture of a world than just the light that comes in, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I can definitely see it.
Yes, it is called Beyond Eyes. Yes,
Beyond Eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a way to do it. Well, then there's also like games aren't specifically about it, but you end up with stuff like Papa Sangre.
Oh yeah,
or like you know the other games where they're you know they've experimented with cutting out one of the senses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and those are interesting, even if they're not necessarily trying to say something. It's just more interesting than this.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, because this breaks its own rules, like we said.
Yep. Yep. And yeah, it's got nothing on the mixed stealthy. the invisible scentless burger. I could be around you anytime.
Mm-hmm.
Never know. Every time you like stub your toe or trip,
mm-hmm.
Could be the mixed stealthy.
Yeah. No, just I walk around my entire house just sweeping, just hoping that there's no mixed stealthy that I'm gonna step on and slip on and die.
Well, and of course, because when they introduce the McStealthy, they have to introduce a new McDonaldland character. So that's how we're introduced to Solid Shake.
God damn it.
who plants them around with his handler, General McRonald.
Colonel, I've found a cache of McStealthies. How do I deploy them? Well. Here's how you do it.
Snake.
Shake.
No, McDonald Miller.
Yeah, McDonald. Yeah, there we go.
Oh, man. I'm happy the show never got smarter.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's like it'd be too late now, right? You know? Yeah, like we're not gonna do like the like that one sea lab that's like the
No,
old sea
the
labs.
serious.
The serious sea lab. We're not gonna do one of these where we're like, all right, graphics. I'd say the graphics in The Quiet Man are 4 out of 10.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, we're gonna do that.
No, that's not gonna be us.
Yeah. Boy, oh boy. Well, yeah. That might be all my Quiet Man.
Yeah, I think so.
This episode was like a McStealthy sandwich because it was, but with McStealthies for bread. It's the triple down, like the new McStealthy deluxe. Because the middle was just like being angry about the Quiet Man, and then there's two little. I went to a satanic film festival yesterday.
I was going to ask you about that. What what was it? Was it like educational films about how you should avoid cults in the 80s or what?
Nope. It's the same people who do the Lovecraft Film Festival.
Okay.
And I guess there's a Portland Horror Film Festival that's in 3 weeks that I didn't know about. So I'm going to go to that. But they also, this is their second year where they do, so they do three film fest a year now, where they do this one specifically about Satanist films. And it was like a variety show. So it was a couple of burlesque acts.
Okay.
Which are very weird to me, like as an art form. It's like, here's a really creative costume. And then like at the very end, they show their tits and then like they kind of dance and, I only kind of get it.
Yeah.
But some short films, like there are like amateur made, one of which was very funny, that you should hunt down if you can, called Vinyl Destination.
Okay.
That was about backwards masking. Like these two loser guys get a record and the record's like, "Ooh, play me backwards, baby. You don't want to play me the right way." So they're gonna they play it backwards, and at first it's like, you know, go find a kitchen knife and stab your friend, but then it's just telling them to do really mundane things like watch Breaking Bad a second time because there are more details. But you know, but in like the backwards masking voice and stuff. It's very funny. But the feature, they had the director of this movie from this like 70s like kind of schlockhouse thing. And they showed this movie called Abby, which was it's super rare now because they got sued for it. And they got sued, as far as I can tell, because it's basically, you know, as Dracula is to Blackula. Like this is like the Blexorcist. Like, basically.
The Blexorcist. So, sorry. Is it the Mad Magazine?
Like, more or less, like it is. Okay. It is. It's very Blexorcist, though. It's very Exorcist, but with like cool Soul Train visuals and an all person of color cast.
That sounds amazing.
It's really entertaining.
Yeah,
it's very entertaining and fun.
Why were they sued?
Because it's exactly like the fucking Exorcist.
Oh, okay.
Found many lines of dialogue.
All right. Okay. So, yeah, that would that would do it.
This was very funny. The guy came up on stage. this was fucking like slayed me. Got up on stage and was talking about this story. And he talked about being sued. I kind of like zoned out because it was really boring.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's actually why they got sued, because of the Exorcist comparisons. Even though I wouldn't be surprised. Mm-hmm. But this, you know, and this was the movie they got sank. But he talked about how he started talking about his friends who worked there who died in a helicopter crash. Scouting locations for a movie, and I like heard him say that. I was like, okay, like he's gonna move on, and I kind of stopped paying attention a little bit, and he's still going, and like he ends his speech with, and that gave me the not very fun task of informing all of his family members, and he's like trailing off into weird morose old man vibes, like at this point in front of everyone, like. Yeah, after, you know, when they said that there were no survivors, I had to call his wife and his family.
You ever
looked? No, it was not a fun day. It was not a good task. And, you know, he's just like stuck on it. And then I was just like, man, I know I shouldn't like think this is extremely funny, but this is very funny. It also.
He just gets up there and says, the hardest words in the English language to say are daddy's not coming home. Everybody is like clapping and hooting.
If I could save my state, like I thought about that as a superpower. Like if he had been like, well, I had the very not a good day of informing all the relatives. If I had been like, woo, just see what happened. Like, you know, and yes, it's very sad. It was like from 1979 or whatever. It's been, I think the statute of limitations on this helicopter crash passed. But since this is episode 300, watching The Blexorcist reminded me of something. I think I've told this story before, but if I haven't.
Okay.
Oh, and then real quick, I had raffle number 666 and they gave me a t-shirt.
Oh, nice.
So never won a raffle before, so it was cool.
Mm.
So I used to work at, when I worked in Northern Illinois University, it was headquartered in the library. The desk for the copy machine service, which is where I worked, was next to the magazine section. The periodical section had a whole bit on film. And the Podunk town I came from, the people who worked in the library made this little poster that's like celebrating film, you know? So it looked like a Tim Heidecker, Greg Turkington thing. It's like the golden age of movies with like a couple of popcorns and a film reel and stuff, right?
Right.
Around it was a mosaic of classic movies.
Hmm.
So like here's Jaws, and here's like the T-Rex from Jurassic Park, and here's the sled from Citizen Kane and stuff. And the thing they used from The Exorcist was her fucking herself with the cross.
Jesus.
Like, it was a little tiny 1-inch by 1-inch square, like you don't notice unless you get up close to it. I don't know how long it's been since you've seen that image.
But it's really bad.
Face, she's like, hey. Yeah. Just like blah, blah, blah. She looks like Venom. Like if Venom was fucking himself with a crucifix, you know?
Yeah.
Venom sounding with a crucifix.
Oh.
It's very funny because it just, at first glance it looks like nothing, and then you get close, like, they use that image.
Okay. We need to feature Silence of the Lambs. Which image will we use? Oh, him with the mask on, like tied to that dolly. No, how about when Clarice gets jizzed on in the prison?
Yeah, how about Buffalo Bill tucking his penis between his legs and singing dancing to Q Lazarus? How about like the
I sometimes feel bad for Q Lazarus.
Oh man, well, yeah, Q Lazarus got a raw deal.
I mean, just like you make a song, and forever and all time, it is associated with that image. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do to undo that.
It's a good song, but yeah, it is a good night for Blexorcism and exorcism in general.
Yep. So, oh Jesus,
yeah, hail Satan. And it reminded me that fucking Midsommar is coming out. They're going to show Midsommar, and I'm like, man, you watched the trailer for that?
No. Oh wait, shit. No, I saw like a YouTube trailer for it, but it didn't stick out to me. What is that?
It's the Hereditary guys.
Okay.
Next movie. And it's like a folk horror movie, like you know, like a Wicker Man style thing, like like what if the polyspree worship demons? You know, one of those kind of things.
Right.
Polyphonic. Right. It looks scary as hell.
Mm-hmm.
So you saw Hereditary, right?
No, I haven't. No, you mentioned it, but I know
it's, you know, recommendations are violence and stuff, but as a horror movie fan, like,
yeah, no,
I'm gonna have to insist you watch Hereditary, man. Like,
yeah, no, I haven't seen Hereditary. I haven't seen A Quiet Place. Yeah,
No, Quiet Place isn't very good. Those came out the same year, and people are like, man, A Quiet Place, and I'm like,
no, Hereditary, right. No,
yeah, Hereditary is, you know, Quiet Place is just a monster movie.
Yeah.
Hereditary is next level shit.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I just it's one of those things.
Yeah, I won't. You get 2 weeks to watch it before I start at the end of everything to Guppy telling people to at you.
Oh Jesus, no! Please don't, Gary. Please don't.
I won't. I know I got to work with you. I don't want to. But I'm just saying, 2 weeks.
Okay, all right. it begins now. Yeah. 300 episodes, Gary.
300.
Yeah.
Welcome to the 300 zone. Everything's gonna change now.
It's really 369. No, 370, because there's an episode zero. That we did on JJ and Jeff. So if you count the it'd be 372 if you count the Duck Bundle episodes as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
372. The big 372.
Yep. Oh man. Yeah, you only release your 372nd episode once.
Yeah, exactly. Every 372nd episode is somebody's last and somebody's first.
Yeah. So like whenever we hit one of those arbitrary notes, the joke that I want to make is and we're halfway done. But
yeah.
I don't want somebody in 744 episodes yeah, let's just say that. I don't want somebody in 744 episodes to say, all right, it's your last one. Ha ha. And I also don't want to make people think that the show is going to end someday, because it's absolutely going to. But they don't necessarily need to dwell on it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Oh, well.
Oh, well, indeed.
Yeah. Well, thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thanks, everybody. So yeah, if you like the show, rating and reviewing is good. Patronizing is good. Patreon.com/DuckFeedTV.
Yeah.
All good.
It's all good. You get a bunch of stuff. You see 300 episodes out right now. There are so many more you can get.
Yeah. And I think that's probably about it.
I think so.
Yeah. Until next time. Who is Quiet Dog?
Until next time, where did this McStealthy come from?
Where is D-Dog? Who is D-Dog? A quiet reference as well.
Oh yeah, there we go.
The other possible intro for this, but I didn't want to draw attention to Quiet, and I knew that I would talk about Kojima in this because there's more in common than anyone wants to admit.
I feel like I'm crazy. I'm walking around. It's obvious to me, and nobody else is saying it.
Nobody else is seeing it. Everyone's like, the Quiet Man looks bad, but Death Stranding looks good. Like, what is wrong with you people? Come on, like.